Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This is Kiri Honey, host for Falling in Love Again, Season 1. In this virtual event, you are discovering the secrets to great communication and renewed intimacy and affection. So as parents, you can connect the way you did before the kids, even if it feels like it's too late. You will walk away feeling inspired and empowered to take the lead in your relationship, to feel supported, to take action that feels aligned and authentic to your wants and needs, and on a practical level, help you focus on the key steps needed to rekindle the passion and fun in your partnership. Myself, along with this panel of fabulous speakers, are sharing fresh new ways to amp up the passion so you can have the happy and fun relationship and family you've always wanted, without guilt or worry that things are going to fall apart. And let's not forget our daily free gifts. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Falling in Love Again, Season 1. Today, I'm excited to introduce Dr. Erica Goodstone, who is here to discuss passion and healing through love. But before we get into that, let's learn a little bit about her. Dr. Erica Goodstone, Healing Through Love Mentor, helps men and women, individuals and couples, gay and heterosexual, heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Dr. Erica helps her clients create and reawaken their love, passion for life, and intimate connections, including the one with their own self. She is a licensed mental health counselor and marriage therapist, board-certified sex therapist on the faculty of the International Institute for Clinical Sexology, somatic body psychotherapist, and personal life and health and wellness coach. Her Healing Through Love audio series, Love Touch Heal video and book series, and her Love Transforming Love Lessons for Your Soul, in addition to her numerous powerful virtual summits, will change the way you view love, relationships, and healing forever. Hey, Erica, and welcome to Falling in Love Again, Season 1. I'm so excited to have you here to share your wisdom with us all.
And I'm so excited to be speaking to you across the ocean.
Yes, yes. Now, before we get into the nitty gritty, I like to ask my speakers where you are in the world and what you're grateful for today.
I'm in Southeast Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, and I'm grateful for being interviewed on a beautiful love summit where we're speaking about my favorite topic, healing through love, and sharing the desire to help others to feel better.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah.
Sharing instead of talking about what's going on in the news and whatever.
Yes. 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 Thank you so much. Yes, I agree. Now, before we, you know, get into the passion and healing side of things, can you tell us how you got into this work?
I would say that it happened because I was single for a very long time. I got married for the first time and only time at 40. So it was really late. So I had years and years of dating, and I was a sexy New York City person, like Sex and the City. We were all wild at the time. But I wasn't getting serious with anybody. And I was in a doctoral program. And then to do my dissertation, I chose a topic all about mother-infant bonding and the effect of that early childhood influence on adult love relationships. And what Dr. Margaret Mahler, the person whose theory it was based on, what she discovered is that children, infants who did not have good enough bonding with their mother, and many people don't really have that, they might develop separation anxiety, anxiety about merger, which becomes anxiety about marriage and intimacy, and intense ambivalence, where you love someone and you hate them. And I had all of it. So that got me on a whole quest to understand love. And I took all kinds of consciousness raising courses. And I also had lots of aches and pains because I was teaching health and physical education at the time. And I overdid it a lot. And I went for body therapy treatments. And that's when I discovered this mind-body therapy that has you talking while you're being touched and relaxed, and you get into memories of all kinds of things, pre-conscious memories. And so I just delved into it more and more. So I have an understanding of what's going on with all of us, men and women, and what's really underneath what it looks like on the surface.
Yeah, fascinating. So on that, what challenges do we need to face to overcome, or need to be faced rather, and overcome in order to, you know, have a safe and happy and loving relationship?
Well, in thinking about this, before starting, I was thinking, because I had asked the question about challenges, and then I was thinking, what do I really mean by that? I've talked about it so much, but I was thinking about the challenges that everybody kind of faces with dating and relationships and love. We have disappointments. The person that we thought was a certain way disappoints us. They're just not living up to whatever we thought they were supposed to be or that they said they were. And then the other huge thing is betrayal. Somebody has an affair, or they do something with money, or in some other way they betray you. They lie to you about something, and it can be huge and really affect you. Or looking at the media and feeling like I should love, as a woman, I should love a man who's got a lot of money and who's good looking, and here I love this guy that doesn't earn anything. Or if someone is an alcoholic or drug addict, I should see the red flags and get rid of the person. But this is the person I love. And so we have all these challenges. And if everybody got rid of the person that didn't have money, that had an alcohol or drug problem or whatever other problem, there wouldn't be too many partners to choose from. So you know, and the other part is that we choose someone who doesn't seem to be our ideal partner. And we spend the rest of our time together beating that person up emotionally or physically because they're not living up to what we believe. So those are some of the challenges that everybody faces. And then men have particular challenges. I am a sex therapist and I still teach about sexual dysfunctions and work with clients. And men have a huge, quote unquote, performance issue. They feel like they're supposed to perform, which means getting an erection, lasting as long as they want, pleasing the woman, no matter what, no matter who she is. Or another issue they have is pornography. And it's not really their fault because there's a whole industry that preys on the innocent men that turn on the computer and they get pulled into something, and it's done really meticulously to get the person in there, to pull them in, to feel addicted to it. And the other issue that men have has to do with their manhood. What makes me a man? So if a woman wants flowers and a man was brought up that you're a wimp if you buy a woman flowers, then he's just not going to do whatever the thing is that she would feel better about. So she might want this sweet little thing, and to him, it's such a huge lack of manhood for him to do it. So he just can't. And then that, and the other thing is just not having enough skill. And then the woman runs into all kinds of issues like sexism, even nowadays. And then the Me Too movement, where she feels entitled and stands up to the guy and speaks up and confronts him and forgets that maybe he needs some softness and he needs a feminine woman. A lot of women feel like a victim, that they constantly feel victimized and blame him instead of feeling strong, like I'm a goddess and I have a lot to offer and I can teach him that I'm valuable. And then the partners that they're desiring may not be really what's good for them. Because as I said before, if you grow up in a family where you didn't have a lot of affection and love and maybe there was abuse, if you find a really sweet, loving guy who's affectionate, you might hate it. You might be turned off by it. the kind of person that attracts you might have a little of that rage, and they might have a violent streak that maybe together you could work it out where you're both happy together. I mean, there's just all kinds of possibilities. So those are the kinds of challenges that we're running
into. Yeah, there's a lot of things in there that can really feel like overwhelming, lots of things to work through.
I think that's another thing that's really important for everybody, your culture. Mm. Like there's a man I recently saw that comes from a culture where he's dating a woman that he really loves and feels sexual with and enjoys her, but his family would not approve of her. So that's another huge piece. Do you go with what your family and your culture wants, or do you go against it? There's just so many challenges, and that's just touching the edge. And the media, black or white, but it really isn't. It can be complex.
Yeah, it is. It is very complex. So there seems like there's a lot of to overcome there. So what can we do? What kind of attitudes, behaviors, actions, beliefs do we need to change within ourselves to, I guess, overcome some of those?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is to really understand yourself, to understand your own past. Like, what kind of family did I come from, and what did I learn, and what do I believe, and what's my religious belief? And even if your family had a certain religious belief, yours might be different. But you've got to know what you came from, because you took that in. Mm-hmm. So understand all of that, and then decide, hopefully before you even get into a relationship, what are my goals and dreams for my life? What do I really want to accomplish and do and be before you get involved with someone? Because you might jump into a relationship, the guy is sexy, or a guy jumps in with a woman who's sexy and whatever, but you didn't look at how do they fit with your lifestyle, with the way you really want to live. Like a woman might think, I want a man who's really successful in business. But if she finds a man like that, he might be working all the time. He might be traveling all the time, having affairs. It might not match what she really wants. Mm-hmm. And you push away the guy that's working hard to get up there, but hasn't made it yet. You know, so all kinds of things like that. So the beliefs to overcome are like, he should be doing this, he should be acting this way, and he should be giving me this much, he should be striving for that much, or he should change, instead of, and also feeling that about yourself, I should be all these things to please that other person. So instead of feeling all that, really look at, who is this person? Not that he should be something else, and not that I should be something else. Like once I dated a guy and he took me to the ballet, and he was ogling, loving these ballet dancers. That's what he wanted, was a ballet dancer. And I was not that. So there was nothing I could do. Mm. It wasn't worth even the effort. Mm. So that's the kind of thing, to have some idea. Sometimes a person likes a certain thing, but they also like you, and you know there's something more there. So there's a lot to think about. The other part is what you feel like I should be feeling, I should be receiving. We should be able to communicate. We should. Mm-hmm. And you may not be communicating as well as you think you are. You may be judging. You may be criticizing. The person you're with may have grown up in a family that criticized him. Mm-hmm. So if he gets the slightest sense that you're criticizing, his back goes up against the wall, and you think you're being loving, but you're really not. So there's just so much to overcome, so much to, not so much overcome as to understand.
Yeah.
The more you understand about it, the more you really know who that person is, the more forgiving you can be, or you decide, this really is wrong for me. And you stop beating him up, you stop beating yourself up, and you find a way to break up.
Mm-hmm. One thing in particular that I think there in terms of like mothers and very much struggle with forgetting who they are as they become parents. And then, you know, any kind of expectations, I guess, that they grew up with, or, you know, always wanting to have kids, and then it's not, you know, the same as what they were hoping it would be. And then, so what can we do to help those mothers in particular who are not sure who they are anymore, or what they want? What can we do to help them reconnect with themselves in order to then reconnect with their partners?
Glad that you brought that up, because I forgot to mention that as one of the challenges for women. Mm. First of all, whether or not to have children. Mm-hmm. I just worked with somebody who feels so much pressure to have a child, but it's really her parents' pressure. Mm. She never really wanted it that much. You know, so that's a whole piece.
Yeah.
But then you have the children, but it's not the thing that we misunderstand is that having a relationship with someone or having children is not so different from any other relationship we have or any other goal. Like, we want to write a book and make it a bestseller, and then somehow it becomes a bestseller and it doesn't bring us what we thought it was going to bring us. Mm-hmm. Or it brings a lot of friction. Like, I remember Cher Height wrote this book, The Height Report. This is a long time ago. It was all about, she interviewed women about sexual desire and orgasms, and they found that a lot of women had fantasies and they had orgasms without being with a man. They could do it themselves. So she got so much hostility from men around the world and at the conferences. I saw her there in front of people getting attacked. So, I mean, that's just an example. So it's all the same. So you have the children and it's the same issue in your life. It's who you are and how you're facing the issues in your life. And it's just showing up with the children. But if you didn't have the children, it would show up in some job that you had, in a career goal, with a friendship. So that's what I'm discovering. It's like all the same. And we can be so disappointed because we have an idea of what we want, but there's a little saying, God laughs when he hears what we want, because we don't necessarily get what we want, we get what we need. Mm. And my husband said something very interesting to me today. I had a partner to write a book, and we had an agent, a top agent, who had worked with Jimmy Connors, a top tennis star, and he would have created a bestseller. But my friend had a drinking problem and she sabotaged the deal and it fell through. Mm. And so we were talking today, this was a long time ago, and he said that if it had gone through and I had had that bestseller, he would have been married to a different woman. That, I get chills thinking about that. That success would have changed me in a way that not having that success and feeling frustrated and always working and striving to do something more and not quite getting there has actually been a gift for me, because it helps me to be a better therapist. I have much more compassion for people wherever mm-hmm. they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever people feel, women feel and men feel with their children and disappointed in them, if you're coming from love because you really understand love and you love yourself, you're not disappointed in them. All you are is curious. You're saying, wow, this is what my child is. Like somebody in the news talks about her child is autistic. And because the child was autistic, she created a business around that and is helping autistic children, because mm-hmm. lavender bath oils soothed her. So she took this negative thing. Someone else would be upset. Why is my child autistic and those children are so healthy? Why does my child have a drug problem or feel suicidal or committed suicide or was murdered? Or maybe all these things can happen and it's part of life. Why are we in America or you in New Zealand doing okay and women in Afghanistan are really scared and having to deal with something? It's just the luck of the draw or maybe our karma. And so that's why learning about love, really learning about love and about life is the answer.
Fascinating stuff. So let's just break it down. What is love? What is that? And how do we heal through it?
Love is a feeling. You feel that you love someone. That's what we think of as love. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in love with him or her because mm-hmm. they're treating you so well. It's like when you look at celebrities, beautiful man, a beautiful woman and a handsome man, and they're successful and they've got great careers and they meet each other and they're in love. And then a few months later, they're divorced. Mm. It was easy to feel those feelings with someone who has everything and you think they're gorgeous and you think they're special and everything. It's easy to feel that, but it's not love. Love is what happens when that person ends up in rehab and they blow their money or they're on the street or they're cheated on you or whatever. And you can love them through that because you can understand that. It's, yes, maybe there are things you did that pushed him a little bit, and maybe it was just his own feeling inadequate that pushed him to do something, or maybe you're more successful than he is, so he just felt so bad about himself, he found some woman that was much less successful, and it made him feel better. I mean, there's so much. So love is really not just that feeling. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. It's a decision. Someone told me that before I got married, that love is a decision. You decide. And then Neil Donald Walsh, in his book, Conversations with God, said, ask the question, what would love do now? To ask that in every moment. And I thought, what would love do now if I was more loving? I would maybe not say anything and I would be soothing, but it wasn't just for the other person. It was what would love do now for me? So if I was being more loving in this moment for myself and for the other person, what would I do? I might not yell and scream. I might get quiet and then just ask, why are you feeling that way? Because it's hurting me. You know, I might do all kinds of things. Because if I just blurt out the nasty thing, that could hurt me later on.
Yeah, I love that. I really, yeah, that's a really great reminder that, you know, love is a choice. And
it's one more thing.
Yeah,
it's,
go on.
It's really a way of being. Mm. And you know when someone is loving. Because you're in their presence, you say something and they're not judgmental, you feel understood, mm-hmm. you feel like you can be yourself. I yes. have a few friends that I feel that way with, where I can just be myself. There are others that I can be myself a lot of the time, except when something that I am or something I feel doesn't quite match what they're expecting. And then I feel judged. And then so I'm careful with them. So I know the difference. There's a quality of just acceptance and forgiveness and allowing you to be who you are, appreciating you just for being who you are. It's the way we kind of feel that way with pets, because you know that they're not going to change. A dog is going to bark, a bird is going to screech. They're going to, or bite, or do whatever they do. So you have to treat them a certain way. But with people, we don't allow that. We expect them to conform to something that we want.
It's a really great way to look at it. I'm sure all our listeners can relate to those feelings that you've talked about, and those who we can really be ourselves around.
And so with your intimate partner or even dating, don't you want that person to feel safe around you?
Yes.
So one of the things I've experienced with couples is the man is not sharing what he really feels. And she keeps saying, he won't share with me. We can never communicate. And then in the office, this happened pretty recently. He said just what he wanted to say to her, but it wasn't what she wanted to hear. And she just attacked him after that. You know, how can you say that? She's been asking him to open up. So he opens up and he might say it in a clumsy way. And it's just not what she wants to hear. And then she attacks him. So don't expect him to open up again. Mm-hmm. And that's an example. So the more you can be soft and loving and feminine. Another thing is not just men. One of us, the man or the woman, can be really struggling in another aspect of life, at work, with their family, in some aspect. And it's not always at the same time. So if your partner is struggling and you know that, and then they snap at you for something, if you could see it in the context of whatever's really bothering them and not take it so personal and just kind of soothe them. If you had a pet barking and screeching suddenly, you would want to know why, because it was not their typical thing. But with your partner, you just get insulted. You get upset. You know, so a lot to understand.
Yeah. Approaching it with love and compassion and empathy. I mean, it's easier said than done sometimes.
But that's why you have to really work on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why in the old days, women used to hang out in coffee clutches with other women, and they would complain about their husbands, and, you know, but they would have camaraderie, and then the husband could come home and she would be good to him. That's the way it was, but we don't have that now. You have no one to talk to. You're working, you come home as a woman, you're taking care of the children, and you're doing so much, and then he does something or says something, and you know, or he wants sex when you don't want it, and there's so many pressures that people didn't have. They had some of those pressures, but they had outlets, and they had camaraderie that we don't have.
Yes, yes. Trying to bring that back in, more now, because we've definitely been on a few years of becoming more social media focused, and now I feel like with the people that I'm around in particular, I don't know what if it's like where you are, but we're definitely trying to come back to spending more time together in person.
I met a few of my friends for either lunch or breakfast or a dinner, and it was such a joy. And one of these people I had been so judgmental of, you know, just as someone, I was kind of pushing her away. I was so happy to see her and just to be talking about anything. That's what it felt like in person.
Yeah.
Really sweet. And that's something we're starting to appreciate.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned sex very briefly in there. So I just wanted to bring that in. So to talk about the passion side of things, what is your big tip there on, well, like, tell us what is passion and how can we rekindle it?
All right. There's a few definitions. This, I was just looking at this right before coming on. You know, what is a definition of passion? And one definition was strong enthusiasm and barely controllable emotion. So think about that. Passion can be anger. So you might be so upset that your partner gets angry, but maybe if you looked at it another way and you saw he's triggered by you, that there's something in you that is reaching him and he's got a passion because he's defending something about himself. And maybe if we looked at it a little different, we wouldn't be so quick to push him to be more angry or to feel unheard. But it's also, passion is also the object of your focus. That's what you're passionate about. It's a strong desire. It could be lust and it can be love. And it can also be, a description of it is the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. They call that the passion.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, and I'm Jewish, so, but I still believe in Christ and what he stood for. And they also say that when you're suffering, any kind of suffering brings you closer to God, closer to Christ. And there's something to that, because when you suffer, if your children aren't just the way you want them to be, you're not going to be so judgmental of other people whose children are less than what you think they should be. And you'll have more compassion for other people who are struggling because you're struggling. When you have it easy, when somehow you have all kinds of assistance and your children go to the right schools and they dress right and they behave right, and then you don't have compassion. You think it's all because of what I did. And it may not be all because of what you did. You may have a lot of influences around you that helped you that other people don't have. So it just gives you more compassion. But back to what passion is, a good way to figure it out is to say to yourself, ask yourself, what three things am I passionate about? And for example, about an animal or about a hobby. Like I used to be passionate about tennis or passionate about yoga. You know, when I get into the thing, passionate about Qigong, that doesn't always last. It moves to something else. Maybe you're passionate about getting the best deal. When you get the best deal, you feel so good. They show, wow, you feel like something.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you're passionate about, or health, passionate about your health or fitness, or passionate about shopping. You like to get the best item, and passionate about music or dance or anything, art. So what are you passionate about? And when you find that, that's the feeling you want to cultivate. So if you're not feeling passion in your relationship, why not? Look at it, really evaluate what is going on, what is happening. Maybe when you try to do something new, your partner suppresses it because they don't like new things. So
yes.
If your partner won't go for counseling with you, then go for counseling yourself and understand, or coaching, just go for some help, reach out, just like any kind of athlete or dancer or actor, anyone who wants to be successful gets coaching. So get some coaching and find out, why am I lacking passion in my life? Maybe it's you. Maybe you don't have a direction. You don't really know what kind of career you want to go into. You're working at a dead-end job, or it's a good job, but you're not happy there. You have to find your own passion. And also, the reason your partner is not being passionate, maybe they're struggling with not finding their passion in life. So passion is huge.
It is, yeah.
When you feel the passion, then you can, anything is possible. You're not judging, you're not comparing. If you really love this person and know, I chose this person, or I am choosing this person, and I want us to create something wonderful, no matter what it is right now, then hold a vision and do whatever you think you can to create some passion. And that might not be expressing everything you feel like expressing. It might be dressing up in a sexier outfit. It might be speaking a little softer, cooking a special meal, or giving some kind of special dessert, or a glass of wine and dim lights. It could be a lot of different things.
Yeah. I really like that. And I really like the reminder that to cultivate that feeling, whatever brings you that feeling, do more of that.
And if you can't figure it out for yourself, when you're watching a movie or listening to a song, listen to, watch it and see who has passion, and can you relate to that? Or have you ever felt that? Mm-hmm. Or else go back into your own past and remember a time. Like we all remember a time. I remember a time when we were going to get on, I think it was the Dick Clark show. We were going to dance on there. And we were jumping up and down and all excited. And just remember those times.
Yes.
The excitement. Yes. Just remember what that feeling was. And you can bring it back. Memory is really powerful.
You can. You absolutely can bring it back. And what is your, because we're running out of time, so we've just got to, what is your top tip for helping couples fall in love again?
To know yourself, own all of your past mistakes, mm-hmm. own it all without feeling guilty about it, mm-hmm. and then find a way to be curious about this person and to accept them as they are and love that person for who they are, in spite of what they should be and what you wish they were, because it's such a gift to have this other human being share their life with you, rather than you having to be alone and go through all life circumstances alone. There's something beautiful about being together, but it requires forgiving for things that they've done wrong, whatever it is, even if they betrayed you at one point. Maybe they had a need, maybe you were not so present with them, and it can be better now. Appreciate them, show them. The most important thing is to show them by words and actions and sensations that you appreciate and value them and acknowledge them. So I would say that's the most important. And then be curious and ask questions and find out what excites that person, and then try to work it out together if you can.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was such a great reminder. So many great little snippets in there. Now, Erica, you've got a free gift to share with our audience today. I'm wondering if you can tell us a bit about that.
Well, it was an interview I did with David Ricklin, who was a really high-level marketing person. And he just asked me these questions in an interview, and I answered them, and it was all about the 9 love secrets. And one of them is knowing yourself. Another one is knowing the other person. So the more that you know about yourself and the other person and your past and your goals for the future, that alone is huge. Mm-hmm. And then there's a few more secrets in there, what you need to know and how to heal. And healing is part of love. Suffering is part of love. In Buddhism, they say life involves suffering. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. But the real suffering is not the incident. It's not what your partner did or what you have or don't have. It's not how your children are behaving and how they should behave. It's none of that. The real suffering comes from attachment. It's attachment to this person being the way you expect.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it comes down to expectations. Yeah.
Expectations. And when you let go of expectations, like he who has no expectations is never disappointed. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have goals and dreams. Mm. You have goals, you have desires, but expecting it to appear now in this moment the way you expect it, that's where the problem is. Yes, you can build toward that. if you're showing love and compassion and curiosity and you keep learning, it will come to you. You keep holding a vision, it will slowly come, but not in the time schedule and not in the way that you expect, and maybe not from the person you expect it from, or from the child or the situation you expect it from.
I was just thinking, so releasing those expectations we get put onto people, and instead seeing what they have to offer as a gift.
Seeing them as a gift.
Yeah.
And then another thing I thought of, because I just started reading Autobiography of a Yogi, a real old book, but I got inspired to read it. And I was thinking that so many people look to a guru, somebody, they may not call them a guru, but they look to someone else for the answers. Mm-hmm. And I've realized, and I've heard that somewhere, but I've been realizing every person can be your guru. Because they, by who they are, by the way they respond, like it or not, they teach you something about yourself. They teach you how, where you're sensitive and where you're strong and where you're weak and where you're not loving and where you're judgmental. They teach you if you see them that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Erica. That was really great. There were so many little great little nuggets in there. So I've got last three quick fire questions before we go today. The first is, what is your favorite date night idea?
The favorite idea is something you have not done, something different. And it might even be good to do something that's a little scary or dangerous, not seriously dangerous, but something that gives you both a little anxiety and fear, because studies were done years ago, I haven't seen them recently, that when there was fear involved or anxiety, there was greater attraction. So just adding a little bit of that. So the person's not so secure. They feel all of a sudden, oh, I don't know her so well, or I don't know how to do this thing, and I'm not going to look so perfect. So
yes.
I don't know. Bungee jumping. But it might not be that big. It could just be something locally. I can't even think of an example. But just something you haven't done before that you're both new at.
Step into a little discomfort. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. And what's your favorite way to bring fun into your life?
Oh, that's just, if you can't figure it out between the two of you, then watch some funny movies. Bring some movies and also watch some sitcoms and things that they do, or adventure movies, and just whatever could stimulate you to do something different. Even if it's having a pillow fight, well, children stimulate the fun.
Yeah.
Be around children or around them, watch children. Or if you can't, not around children, I have another example. I was at the ocean. I mean, I live right near the ocean in Florida, and I would love seeing the dogs running into the water and having so much fun, and the little children.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you're not having fun yourself, go watch someone that's having fun.
Yeah.
And that alone can make you smile and laugh, and then might make you play a little more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last question is, what is the biggest mistake people are making in their relationships?
The first thing that comes to me is judgment. Judgment and expectation. And wanting the other person, or wanting yourself, to be different from who you are. Thinking that it's because that person is the wrong person and they're not behaving right, or I'm not good enough and I'm not doing the right thing. Let all of that go. You want to be yourself and let the other person be themselves. And if it's really wrong when you're really both being authentic, then maybe it should break up. But if you're expecting something from a person because you got to know the other side of them, you loved a certain side, the successful side, but you don't like their insecure side, then remember their successful side and build on that. and allow them to have what other sides that they have.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much, Erica, for being our special guest today. It was really great chatting with you.
And it's a delight to speak with you. And I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. More sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. Remember, unless you're a VIP, you will only have access to this interview for the next 7 days. I look forward to joining you in our next session tomorrow. And don't forget to grab your free gift. Until then, may your coffee be hot, your family be happy, and your relationship be fulfilling and fun.